Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in time for KER Politics. We're starting out the first segment with a real blockbuster. We've got Sharon Engel on the line with us. Sharon is a well-known political analyst, does a tele syndicated on 7 or 8 stations, has a radio program that is also syndicated. Sharon was brought to my attention by a publicist who I work with, Rachel. And Rachel had some very positive things to say about Sharon's insight into very interesting ploy that was just instigated here prior to the Democratic convention, and that is a situation with Steve Bannon. I'm going to ask Sharon to start and describe this situation as she understands it.
Well, yes, Sharon,
people laugh at me every day. I don't want you to laugh at me, too.
Well, I was just laughing at the question that you would think that I had insight into the minds of those who bring these kinds of charges. It's really interesting to me that they're talking about a fraud scandal with Steve Bannon, when the real fraud scandal seems to be right there in New York with their elections and they're wanting us to take our eye off the ball. That's what they're doing. And they're focusing us on something else that they're calling fraud. It's alleged. We don't know. But we do know that 120,000 mail-in ballots cast in Brooklyn have been disqualified. That's huge. And especially when you bring that over into the general election, it could be magnified by more. And we know that people have lost elections by way less than that. And so you would think they would want to think about at least fair and honest elections. But I think that their major focus with Steve Bannon is to get to the other guy. And by that, I mean Brian Kilfage. Brian is a wounded Air Force veteran. He's a triple amputee with a Purple Heart. He's an amazing person. He started his own coffee business, and because of his politics, Facebook banned him. And so he said, all right, we'll build a wall. And he has been building a wall with private funds. We've had him on our show many times to talk to Brian about this, building the wall. And as a representative of Election Integrity Project Nevada, we are in actually 4 states, California, Nevada, Arizona, and Arkansas, but I represent Nevada. And as a representative of the Election Integrity Project, we know that the border wall is one of the best ways to secure our elections. We, you know, that porous border is what is very problematic in elections, because we know that especially on the border states, you can't make sure that you have a secure election. Here in Nevada, for instance, this is also the case in California and many other states, we give licenses, driver's licenses to illegal aliens. Well, if you've got a driver's license, go in for a driver's license, they ask you if you want to register to vote. Now you're on your honor. Are you a citizen or not a citizen? If you don't check either box, they assume you're a citizen and they send you a ballot. So it's almost, with the many illegals, they go in trying to do the right thing, trying to get themselves at least in one place legal while they're waiting to see what happens next. And they get into this queue, this voting queue, and as they're trying to apply for citizenship, many of them have been here for several years, they're looking for citizenship, and they find out that they're going to get arrested, possibly deported, if they've committed a felony. Well, it's a felony in the United States to register to vote and to vote if you're not a citizen. That's a federal felony, and that is called for deportation. So what we're seeing is that many of these folks, they got registered not knowing that was what was going to happen to them, that they were registered to vote. They just thought, oh, yeah, okay, I'll register to vote. That's what you want me to do. I'll do the next thing, which is voting. They're not aware of the law, is what I'm saying. And so now they're self-reporting to the registrars and saying, please take me off the list. I don't want to be registered to vote anymore because that's a felony offense. I just found it out when I tried to naturalize, and I don't want any part of your election system. But how many of them have not found that out? We're trying to educate, but, you know, the more that flow through our borders, the more they are ignorant of our laws because they're not coming in the right way. They're not able to know those things. They're hiding in the shadows, many of them. And this is the problem that Brian Colfage has been addressing. And, you know, Steve Bannon was just helping him raise money for the wall. I don't think he really even had a dog in this fight, but those that are interested in election corruption, those who have been working the system and know how to steal elections, are very interested in keeping this thing very loose and very open and insecure. And so I think that's what the real meat of the matter is that they don't want those borders closed. Brian Colfage has been making a real dent in it. He's a nonpartisan guy that just says, you know, we just need secure borders, and he's been doing it with private funding, and that just makes them crazy that they can't stop these illegitimate voters from coming into the country and swaying elections. So I think that's the whole bottom line. And of course, if anybody is interested in more about how they're doing it, we put out a documentary called Stolen Choices that it tells how long election corruption's been going on in our country, who's been doing it, how they've been doing it, and what we can do to stop it. And they can go to Election Integrity Project Nevada or EIP Nevada.nv, EIP.
Sharon,
they can get a copy of their own.
Sharon, we're going to do better than that. We'll put your picture and a link very prominently. Sharon, would you wrap it up?
Oh, well, I feel like I've just, told everything there is to tell about this situation, except perhaps that, we have to look skeptically at anyone who doesn't want fair and honest elections or does anything that would stop that from happening. So anyone who's opposed to border security, they're probably more interested in working the system with folks like Voluntaris. I know in Florida they have paid ballot harvesters, Voluntaris, that go around and collect ballots. And that's what's so wrong about this mail-in ballot situation, because those Voluntaris in some ways are electioneering. They can go into your home, which now has become the polling place if you're in the mail-in ballot, and they can pressure you to vote for one candidate or another. That's what's so wrong about this whole idea of mail-in balloting and ballot harvesting. And we know that people have gone to jail. I mentioned Florida. There is a woman named Cabrera that went to jail for doing exactly that, harvesting these ballots and voting for many people several times. So it's one of those things that if they're in favor of something like this, you have to be suspicious of their motives. I know this when Kamala Harris became the nominee, we looked into her record on voting, and lo and behold, she's against voter ID and was actually instrumental in killing a voter ID law in California. So, you know, I'm looking suspiciously. I ran against Harry Reid in 2010 for U.S. Senate, and he came out the other day saying that President Trump had no integrity. Well, we found in Nevada that during that 2010 election, there was a lot of nefarious things going on with the election. So I think he would have done better for himself to just keep quiet about these things. But like I said, he's a suspicious character, so is Kamala Harris. So are these folks that are going after Steve Bannon and especially Brian Kilpatrick. So I am urging your audience.
Sharon, I got to stop you just for a second. We got to take another commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Attention radio listeners. Have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
Do you feel like many of us?
All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day?
Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Continuing with KER Politics. I have a very interesting gentleman on the line right now, Glenn Caroline. Glenn is a veteran grassroots gun rights organizer. He's the director of external affairs for the Second Amendment Foundation and Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. His buddy Alan Gottlieb has been on the show a number of times. I completely agree with everything that this organization advocates. Glenn, we're going to talk about the decision. I want to get your opinion, sir, on the decision that just came down in California, basically a huge pro decision for your organization. Can you talk about that? And in your discussion, if you wouldn't mind discussing why the decision came down the way that it did, in your opinion.
Sure. Well, the decision was in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which has a reputation of being a more leftward-leaning appellate court, which it is, and a court that has a lot of its decisions overturned. So I think any time that court in particular affirms the constitutionality of gun ownership, or in this case, owning standard capacity magazines, it's a pretty important decision. I will say this, it's in some ways unfortunate that we have to get excited when a court made up of judges who are sworn to uphold the Constitution rule on something as basically constitutional as whether or not citizens should legally have the right to own standard capacity magazines. But the fact that it happened out west in this particular court should really send a shot across the bow to gun controllers all across the country that there are fair-minded constitutional judges out there that are sworn to uphold the Constitution and will do so. And I think for gun owners, it should put into perspective just how important it is to have the right president appointing judges to our federal courts, because the ramifications of court decisions are long-lasting and have great impacts all across the nation.
Well, Glenn, let me ask your opinion about one thing right now. Obviously, along the subject lines that we're talking about, we've got a very, very interesting and I would have to say even dishonest presidential election coming up here in a few months between our President Donald Trump and the former Vice President Joe Biden. Things are happening in this particular campaign that are strictly, obviously occurring for political reasons. I think with this particular decision, particularly in California, a very, very Democrat-controlled state, I think this is just a political game, in my opinion, and I wouldn't count on this necessarily to be etched in concrete, as they say. What's your opinion about that, Glenn?
Well, we'll see if this decision is appealed, and if so, how it plays out. But I do believe that, as I said earlier, it reinforces the importance of this election. The future of the federal judiciary is going to look markedly different if it's Joe Biden making the appointments than if it is Donald Trump. And these judges, many of whom have life terms, serve decades, and have rulings that have far-reaching consequences that can take generations to overturn.
Yep.
So I believe that the election isn't just about Donald Trump versus Joe Biden. I truly believe the future of the Second Amendment itself is on the ballot. And if you're a liberty-loving, freedom-minded individual who supports the Second Amendment, you have to make your voting decisions through the lens of looking at this as what will this mean for the Second Amendment, not just for myself, but for my children and grandchildren for generations to come.
Mr. Caroline, let me just say one thing about that. I could not agree with you more in the sense that this is not about Donald Trump, the individual. This is about, and it's not necessarily about Joe Biden, the individual. This is really about a future way of life in America. I don't like, and you may not want to address this issue, and if you don't, that's fine, but I do not like the personality right now and the tenure of the Democratic Party. I am seeing absolutely no class. I'm seeing nothing but irresponsible anger, and I think that irresponsible anger could basically go into the direction of serious physical violence in the streets in our country. And I don't want to see that, as I'm sure the Second Amendment Foundation and Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms doesn't want to see that either. What does Glenn Caroline think?
I think one of the great things about our country, and there are many great things, that when we want to impact change, we can resort to the ballot box, not the cartridge box. And I believe the best tool we as gun owners and Second Amendment supporters have at our disposal right now is the franchise, the vote. I think that I always ask the question hypothetically, do you know who we could elect if every one of America's 100 million gun owners registered to vote and voted on Election Day? And the answer is we could elect anybody who we want. So we want to see change, and in this case, the continuation of the protection of our Second Amendment rights under the second Trump administration. We want to see that change, and that change is going to come about and be impacted by gun owners registering to vote, being force multipliers by educating other gun owners about the differences between the candidates, and then making sure we're doing our level best to turn out gun owners on Election Day or absentee, if that's how they're voting, to make sure they make an informed decision, understanding that the future of their Second Amendment rights is hanging in the balance right now.
I agree 1,000%. Glenn, I want you to do me a favor, if you would, sir. We have 2 minutes left here. I want you to talk a little bit about the organization that you have been involved with for quite some time right now, and that's the National Rifle Association. What I would like you to focus on quickly is the basic philosophy of the NRA.
Well, the NRA was founded in 1871 and is the largest pro-Second Amendment organization in the United States. They do a lot more than just political and legislative advocacy. They have a lot of great training programs and educational programs, and I was happy to have been an employee there for 28 and a half years. I'm now with the Second Amendment Foundation, and I'm really excited about that opportunity. They're the largest purely educational pro-Second Amendment organization in America, with probably over 650,000 Americans. They do a fantastic job. We do a fantastic job educating gun owners about threats and opportunities to our Second Amendment rights. And the Second Amendment Foundation has really been a leader in recent years in pushing litigation on behalf of gun owners and has had a lot of success in the courtroom. So I thank Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation for giving me the opportunity to continue my passion for defending the Second Amendment via a great organization like SAF.
All I can say is it's a pleasure to have you on the show, Mr. Caroline. I want to get you back. I've spoken with a number of your colleagues at the Second Amendment Foundation and the Citizens Committee for the Right to Bear, Keep and Bear Arms. I like what you guys are doing a lot. I'm going to put up a link along with your picture, sir, on our website when the show airs Saturday and Sunday in the various cities around the country. I know that most of our listeners are like-minded and agree completely. If you guys want to find out more about the organization that Mr. Caroline is involved with, all you need to do, guys and gals, all you need to do is check on the link. Mr. Caroline, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Two tropical weather systems are moving towards the Gulf Coast. In Houston, officials are planning ahead of Tropical Storm Laura and Depression 14, which could become Tropical Storm Marco by Sunday. They're urging residents to be prepared now. Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner says first responders will be ready to perform water rescues, if any. And, oh, by the way, there's the COVID-19 pandemic. He says they're prepared for that as well.
We still will be intending to take do the COVID checks and to spread people out. And so, again, this is one of the times where you may have to be encouraged to shelter in place or shelter with family or friends or neighbors if it is needed.
It has been more than 60 years since two tropical strength storms had been in the Gulf at the same time. This is USA Radio News. Despite COVID-19 spikes, home sales are on the rise. USA Radio's John Hunt has more.
Spurred by ultra-low mortgage rates, house buyers rushed last month to snap up a limited supply of existing homes, causing the pace of purchases to jump by a record high of 24.7%. The surge in sales reported by the National Association of Realtors marked a second straight month of accelerating home purchases. The back-to-back increases have helped stabilize the home buying market, which all but froze earlier this spring when the viral pandemic erupted across the United States. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
The U.S. Postal Service has launched a new website to help Americans get through mail-in voting. The agency, in a news release, said they recognize that many states are choosing to expand mail-in voting options in the November elections and that there will likely be a significant increase in demand. The new website comes after Postmaster General Louis DeJoy testified before the Senate. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome to our show, Al Corlin with Dr. Frieda. And today we have a guest that we are really very impressed by. He has so much that I don't want to take up half the program, but I'll tell you a few things about Calvin Dark is his name. And he has held several leadership roles where he had advised ambassadors, international organizations, foundations, and multinational corporations on their strategic communications, public affairs, and media outreach. Calvin has managed multi-million dollar trade and investment promotional campaign for the Kingdom of Morocco and the Republic of Ecuador. He's an avid winner, Freedom Now campaign, and he has also been an elections advisor for clients in Mali, Indonesia, Gabon, and Benin. So welcome to our show. We've been very happy to have you on. And the first thing I would like to ask you is that, you know, for the past several months, we have had conversations with people of color about racism, discrimination. And, you know, we want our listeners to learn our conversation and that can be life-saving as well for people of all color to celebrate their lives. We're in the midst of continuation of vandalism, of destruction, and it has not slowed down as our show has progressed all these months. Do you have a concern that this could come into the neighborhoods, into the middle-class neighborhoods, rioting and vandalism as well?
Well, thank you. That's an excellent question. And I think one of the things that will kind of help put my answer in context is Right at currently, I'm principal and co-founder of RC Communications. We are a strategic communications firm in Washington, D.C., and we tackle a lot of these really complex issues with our clients on the messaging side, and hopefully, you know, make a difference in, you know, their campaigns and what they're doing. So with that being said, the way that you frame the question, I think, is a bit backwards. And I say that because I'm not as concerned about supposed vandalism or violence coming into the neighborhood. I'm more concerned with the existing tension, systemic racism, inequality that's causing disruptions and, unfortunately, physical violence and death for people in many communities. So I don't see it as we're at peace now and this thing is coming. I see the protest as a result of people are just fed up with what they've been dealing with, what we have been dealing with for decades and centuries almost in this country.
You know, Calvin, let me just kind of weigh in on that. I don't disagree at all with what you were saying. The one comment that I would make is in our foundation, Birnbaum Corlin, Judeo Christian Foundation for Equality, we give an awful lot of airtime to both sides of every single story. The one comment that I would make is people do not stop and listen. There are too many preconceived notions out there, and there is too much in the way of with anger, I think, involved in situations. I think there's an awful lot of misunderstanding. I would have to say that there are some serious protests going on in Seattle, Washington right now, as I'm sure you are aware. We had one of the very active protesters on our radio program about a week ago, and I have to tell you, everything that this man said, I happened to be a man of color, but so what? We're all human beings. And I have to say that he had some very interesting things to say, and it's just a shame that both sides don't listen to what this guy said, because every issue can be solved if people just lift the veil of emotion and look at the facts, Calvin. Don't you agree?
Yes, but I one of the things that I want to kind of caveat that with, and this is something that I've thought a lot about in my adult life in particular over the last few months, is we got to be really careful about, you know, this debate over how to tackle these issues, that we don't make it a theoretical exercise that's divorced from emotion or anger, because I think that can actually be a problem when you have people discussing it in such a sterile way, when they don't realize that this isn't just something I talk about on Facebook or something we talk about on a program, but this is actually something that people have to deal with every day. And let me make that personal. These are things that I have to deal with when I walk out of my house. And so I do agree with you that we've got to do a better job of listening to each other. But I also think that we need to acknowledge that, once again, people's lives are at stake. So when they do act in a way that people don't understand, or they think is disproportional, or they don't understand why they took that particular action, it doesn't excuse it, but I think people realize that they need to think about where it's coming from, and that may help people understand why there's so much tension, anger, and emotion.
And I'd like to find out, really, what does happen to you that you feel a sense of discrimination when you walk out the door of your house in the morning? Is there anything that you can pinpoint that happens?
Yes, and I'll give you kind of like the broad picture and then like a very specific example. But I think specific examples are helpful to help people understand situations they may not be in. When it comes to saying, you know, today or tomorrow, what is the racism that I feel, that's kind of hard to put my finger on, because as an African-American young man in this country, I had great parents and community who raised me to realize the circumstances that I lived in and how I best had to cope and respond to them. So it's not as if there's a particular situation that I'm careful about on Tuesdays at noon. Rather, it's all the time. Now, to be specific, let me tell you something that really kind of shaped my view. About 10 years ago, Saturday afternoon, I was stopped by the police in my car long story short, they thought it was somebody else in a car, and I was actually parking near my house. So maybe they saw me in my car. They had questions. It was a difficult stop, and they ended up sort of apologizing. But let me tell you how that affected me. Because, you know, I was never charged with anything, and there was no follow-up to that after it. But about a week later, I was in my apartment, and I wanted some orange juice. And any other time, I would have gotten in my car, walked down the street, and bought my orange juice. I caught myself at my door saying, well, you know, it is 9 o'clock. I don't really need to be out there. Why am I going out this late? And I just shook myself and said, oh, my God. I have now been scared to go do something legal, normal, and is my right, because that police stop that I had made me think that I'm doing something wrong. So that kind of situation that I had, one, is a minor situation compared to what a lot of African Americans are dealing with, but it shapes you. So that I, in a sense, carry that with me every time I walk out my door. So that's how I see the racism, systemic racism that we're talking about.
Kelvin, I just want to say one thing, and I'm only saying this because we have to take a commercial break here in less than a minute, but I want to say one thing, and I want to, so that this thing isn't totally one-sided. I understand what you're saying totally, and I do not disagree with you. I believe you did say that the policeman did apologize to you, and, you know, that's a far cry from many things that I hear about, you know, through our foundation. Frieda and I are very, very passionate about what you are saying, and I can totally understand, as can Dr. Birnbaum, what you are saying. And it strikes me that you are in the perfect position and I believe you're doing this. Let's get the message out there so that people understand there is a problem and they understand that this is a situation that we have to deal with. Calvin and I and Dr. Birnbaum will be right back, you guys.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
After about a month of Extendivite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You know, Calvin, it reminds me of something I saw in the media the other day. There was a black young man who said, when he is wearing his doctor's uniform, people respect him. And when he is wearing a hoodie, he really looks as if someone is going to cause trouble, and that's how they treat him, not that that's who he really is. So we really can't change the color of our skin. That's true. But we do have to change the attitude of people around us who have not experienced this type of discrimination. And we really need to be able to have changes in our lives as well. When we are going around discriminating against racism, we also have to know that we have to discriminate against the way people in our country are being valued. When small businesses are being trashed, when the healthcare system is broken, when people can't pay their rents, there's a lot of anger going on both sides. And these are the things we have to really change. Socialism right now seems as if it's something that could give us what we're lacking. Then again, it could take away from what America stands for. And we have to be careful because that's extremely dangerous as well. I'd like to hear your comments on this conversation that I'm talking about right now.
Well, I think what you mentioned is very true. And actually, when you were describing example of the African-American man with a hoodie versus, you know, in a doctor's uniform, I actually think that's a perfect example of what systemic racism feels like. I say that because if you, say, for example, are a white male and you're wondering, well, how does that feel? Feel like you're in a racist system. It means that every decision you make, from what I wear to go to the grocery store, is based on how I think people are going to view me. So I do think that that is important. I think that's what people need to realize, that African Americans, we have a lot more calculations to do on the most daily things because of a system that we have dealt with all of our lives and we hope to change. Now, I know that, yes, in theory, it would be great if people saw me or you for who we are without regards to not ignoring my skin, because my skin is important and I'm proud of it, but not treating me negatively because of it or because of perceptions of what I might be or what I might do. However, I don't think that that's something that we can ask the government to do or that we can really wait on. What we can tell people is work out your own issues about what you perceive about people who are different. But while you're working that out, I'm going to need you to not go ahead and assume that I'm a criminal or that you should be suspicious of me, because I don't think that we're going to get to the solution by waiting for people to kind of, I hate using the word magically, but magically change the way that they've been thinking, not only in this country, but since the beginning of the world.
That I find to be really interesting is one of the reasons that Frieda and I are doing what we are doing with a foundation, and I want to stress one thing. You know, we're kind of fortunate, at least I am, in the sense that my working life is pretty much behind me. I worked like a dog all my life, and I'm able now to devote time to what we are trying to do because I'm very passionate about it. Every guest, Calvin, who we have had on the program, every guest of color, starting with a black preacher from New York, has said, white people can't change us. We got to change ourselves. And that's what you're saying. And Calvin, you have all of my respect in the world, sir.
I think that that is a very important point. But I also want to say that I don't want to make it seem as impossible as it may have sounded before. It is possible, and there are a lot of people of different races who are trying. I think that part of the problem, part of the reason for the misunderstanding, is that we have a lot of people in this country, particularly a lot of policymakers and lawmakers, and you know, you can't see me, but I'm pointing at certain people who don't even acknowledge that the problem exists. So when you were talking about the fact that, you know, I as an African American can't change white perception, that is true. Biggest problem we have is that we're having a debate now with people that don't even believe that the problem exists. And so that's a bigger issue than solving it.
It reminds me, Calvin, of a neighbor of mine who's African American, and she told her son, if the police ever stop you, say, yes, sir, don't move. Don't look the wrong way, whatever they want you to do, because your life is in danger. And she's complaining that her son has to live this way in a state of distress, that something could happen where my kids don't have to live this way. I never had to tell them to worry about their safety. I had to tell them to drive carefully for sure. So, yes. It's a lot of pressure on young people today. But then again, I see some movement and some change in my neighborhood as well. My children don't know about color. They don't know black or white. They don't know the difference, which I'm very proud of, because it's the human being that counts. But I'm also wondering, economically, do you feel that there is a divide when one black person does something, murdering or killing someone, that all black people are seen a certain way, that live in underprivileged neighborhoods? And when people live in middle class, upper middle class neighborhoods, black or white, that they're seen a different way as well? Is there, that there is some discrimination in that community as well?
Well, my first answer to that was when you mentioned your neighbor giving, you know, what often people refer to as the talk, which my parents had that to me. I mean, that's a very normal thing. I want to point out that even when now we're at such a bad place, that when people do say the yes, sir, and are and comply, that doesn't work all the time. And in my specific example that I gave at the beginning of the program where they did apologize, here's something I left out. Before they apologized, I was handcuffed and made to sit on the sidewalk while they figured out that I wasn't who they were looking for in my predominantly white neighborhood, who are now wondering why their black neighbor is sitting on the sidewalk in handcuffs. So, and I am one of the most deferential Southern people you will ever meet, and I had this exact tone of voice. So I want to clarify that even when you are quote unquote nice and respectful, that doesn't always work. But now, to answer your question about economics, here's the thing that I think is just so unique about the United States. In a lot of ways, money changes a lot of things, except for race. Because let me tell you something. In this country, when people see you, they don't see you for the money you have. They see you as that black man or that black woman. And while, yes, if you are in a neighborhood, if you are an African American and you are in a neighborhood that is more well off and more affluent, you do have more opportunities. However, if you are downtown, the same perceptions that someone would give to the African-American man that came from the economically depressed neighborhood, they're going to give to that person. And they don't care if they own the whole rich side of town. So we got to be really careful that, yes, we have so many economic problems to address, which is at the root of a lot of the problems we have. But I want to make sure that it's clear that it's not as if money or economic empowerment somehow mitigates these problems with racism, because racism exists. You know, my daddy always used to say green is an important color, but black is the one that's going to count when you run into somebody in the street. And I think that's important for people to realize.
You know, I got to tell you, sir, I appreciate your commentary. I appreciate it a lot. One of the reasons that our foundation is so important to Dr. Birnbaum and myself is because we can only address these problems when they are identified in a clear and concise manner, as you have done. I have a lot of time for you, sir. We're going to get you back on the program. You are, in my opinion, very definitely going in the right direction. Frieda, we got 9 minutes. Wrap it up.
Well, what's important to know also that we are uniting together more than ever. People of all color can feel the pain of what racism has done in our country. And we want to make sure that we can undo it. So we're all marching in this together. We have people like yourself, leaders in your field, people that are inspirational, people who have persevered and still go on. This is what our country needs to see more of, not the people who are out there rioting and are making the news, but people like yourself who really represent your race, and that's what we will continue to do moving forward. Thank you so much, and we want to have you on back again for sure, Kelvin. Thank you.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.